from Johannesburg to Jerusalem. The world is always changing, growing and innovating. Join Benji Shulman for the next hour as he brings you the trendsetters, the thought leaders and those creating news before it happens. Only on the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show. Every Monday at 9 a.m. right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman. This is the New Blue Review. Welcome to the show on this Monday morning. Hope that you are doing well out there. I really have not sat in this chair for quite some time because I was traveling a bit, and then we had Jewish holidays, and then we had public holidays, and then we had Israeli holidays, and we had Christian holidays, and then we just had a lot of holidays. So it's actually good to be back with you in the studio with a rock solid show, I hope, for May. First show of May that we are going to be have. Later on, we are, as always, bringing in Rob Hutchinson. He is our parliamentary correspondent. We're going to be finding out about what is going on in Parliament. Are we going to get a new budget? That is what everybody is asking. We're finding out about that. You'll get my comments on the latest in the Canadian and Australian elections and what this means for the world. And I will do a minor rant about some stupidity that I saw today about the Jewish Literary Festival. But before we get to any of that fun stuff, I'm very happy to say that we have in studio with us Geordie Sank. He is a director, a film producer, and a cinematographer person in general. We're chatting to him about his new project. I think, Geordie, I'm not actually sure if we had you in originally, or it was your colleague Gabby who we had in for your film about the Holocaust survivor in Cape Town, but we do have quite a long history of doing interviews with you guys. I'm happy to have you in the studio once again.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was all the way back in, I think, 2021, so yeah, it's hard to even remember yesterday, let alone that many years ago. But yeah, thank you so much, it's so great to be back.
Yeah, fantastic, and I'm glad to see you guys are still making good films. And the latest one is not really about Holocaust survivors in Sea Point. In fact, literally oceans away, perhaps, in all sorts of ways from that. And I must say, like, the one thing about it that I really loved is you'll hear now that the characters go on a road trip, which is really the road trip that I've always wanted to take, which is from to Sutherland, which is what the characters do. The film, I went to see it yesterday, and it sort of was like Golden Girls meets Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. That was kind of how I got all in Afrikaans, which is sort of interesting. So it's an unusual film. Give us a little bit of background about how you got into making the film, which is called The Quicksilvers, or Die Quicksilvers.
Yeah, so the film actually came about, so we've done a few short film projects for Cakenet. They have an amazing festival called Silverscam Fierce, and it's just an amazing voice for up-and-coming filmmakers, where they really, you know, they give you the budget, they give you a lot of support. And the amazing thing is in that people within the company, within Cakenet and MultiChoice, get to see the end product. So, you know, when it came about us pitching a feature film to them, I think that they, you know, we had this wonderful relationship with them, but they, I think they also saw our work and were quite impressed with the quality of our work. So, you know, this is miles apart from any of our other work, which is usually a little bit more on the serious side. So this is a wild road trip comedy following these four old tunnies as they take this wild road trip through the Karoo, and it's a story about friendship, loss and grief, but you know, ultimately it's about this wild journey of life that we all go on.
Well, if you do want to ask any questions, you can do so. The WhatsApp line for Chai FM is 0618951019, 0618951019, talking to Geordie Sank about his latest film. The first obvious one was the question that I think a lot of people might have is certainly if you look at the credit roll, you know, there's a lot of Afrikaans names, and then you've got like Sank and Bloomberg, right? part of it. And what's interesting is in the credits is that you're done as a co-writer, which is extremely interesting. First of all, because obviously you're a mainly English-speaking Jewish person doing an Afrikaans film, but to actually write it, I'm assuming you didn't write it in Afrikaans yourself.
No, I think it was very important from us from the get-go to get an Afrikaans writer on board who, you know, knows the nuance of the culture, but obviously also, as you said, you know, we you know, English-speaking Jewish people, so we need someone who could also just do a phenomenal job at the translation, but also, you know, really like bringing the comedy out. So we have Marista van Eerden, who's this phenomenal Afrikaans comedy writer that we brought on board, and it was an amazing process because, like, you know, 90% of the work we did was in English, and then, like, the final 10% was the translating into Afrikaans. And I actually, you know, it was like a huge learning experience for me and Gabby, but I actually found that, like, translating the script into Afrikaans, it was quite a profound process because the Afrikaans actually made the script a lot more funny. Mm. And so it gave us this huge appreciation for the Afrikaans language and culture.
Well, I was reading a book yesterday called by Umberto, I think it's Umberto Eco or something, mm. and he has this thing called Rat or Mouse, and it's about the cultural clash of translation, not the actual words themselves. And that was something I wondered about, particularly comedy, which is so kind of, in some ways, very culturally specific. I mean, you do get universal aspects to comedy because it's about humans, but Afrikaans comedy is different from English comedy in some respects. And so I kind of find myself wondering, well, did you write a joke into the script and then be like, the Afrikaans guys are like, this is not funny, or this is a better way to make it funny?
Yeah, I think that was the nice way of kind of process of working with Marista, is that it was almost like a nice vetting process that we knew that, like, for an English audience, certain things might tick boxes, and for an Afrikaans audience, other things would stand out. You have the more, like, situational comedy things that kind of, I guess, are universal and translate. But, yeah, a lot of the dialogue, like, we've had the opportunity of screening it to, like a lot of different people, and it's interesting to see where the laughter falls, because it's often, like, very different where, you know, which areas of the film people find funny, and then there's some areas that, like, everyone universally finds very, very funny.
Also, what you've done in the film, which I think you kind of mixed Afrikaans cultures a little bit, right? There are kind of classically Afrikaans characters in this film, but there's also, like, members of the colored community and people who, like, identify as being, like, hippies in the 60s is sort of part of. So you've also tried to I think in your own way kind of represent Afrikaans culture kind of broadly, I thought, in the film.
Definitely. I think we were very cognizant, you know, the four lead characters, they're phenomenal veteran actresses, but I think when writing it, we wanted to kind of throw these four very different personalities in a car. And I think, you know, the idea would be that, like, no matter who you are watching the film, particularly coming from the Afrikaans community, that you would kind of see a little bit of yourself in there. So I think we were very cognizant of the type of character, the culture that we were exploring, and also how they banter and kind of how they gel or don't gel with one another.
And the actual idea itself, I mean, the idea of putting the characters through the karoo and just this idea of a old Tani escapade kind of thing, where does that come from?
So it came off the back of one of our short films, Leemtes en Leegheid, which was a short film about this woman who was experiencing the loss of her husband, and she was seeing these visions of him that she couldn't quite get rid of. And we worked with the lead actress, Leda Boerter, she's turning 90 this year, and she is just the most phenomenal veteran actress that South Africa has.
Yeah, you wouldn't imagine that someone was 90 doing the acting that she does on this thing. That's very interesting.
But what surprised us is when we were working in that short film, her energy and her zest for life and just her presence and humor, it was astounding. So, you know, me and Gabby looked at each other after that project, and we thought, how the hell are we going to work with this phenomenal woman again? And, you know, that was where De Quicksilvers really stemmed from. I would say she was our muse. And, you know, after workshopping it a bit, we thought, let's try continue this conversation of grief and loss, but, you know, give it a little bit of a comedic spin on it.
We're talking to Jordi Sank on 101.9 High FM about his new film, De Quicksilvers. I'm Edgy Shulman, and this is the New Blue Review.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM, I'm Benji Shulman. This is the New Blue Review. I'm talking to Jordi Sank today about his new film, De Quicksilvers. You can WhatsApp us if you want to ask any questions. 0618951019. Now, Jordi, you, before the break, you were talking about the fact that your actress is 90, the main character. And you deal with a little bit of that. Actually, a lot of that in the film is the question of older people and autonomy. The ability for someone who is 90 to go on a road trip by themselves, you know, it is the should their family know about it, not know about it? And if and there's we're seeing this in some respects all over our politics and our society. I think people have just lived longer now. We have presidents of the United States are the oldest that they've ever been. And from what you're telling me about this actress, you know, she was clearly at the age of 90 quite happy to do work. And the maybe difficulty that younger people, first of all, have with that, but also when you live such a long time, having to deal with like difficult situations much longer than everybody else. I mean, in the movie, it's about someone whose partner has died, and the toll that takes. And those are all very old themes, but they're also quite new in a sense for our society.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what was quite interesting in the filming is that, you know, we came to the filming with our own sort of ageist perspective because, like, you know, we would often say, oh, it's going to take these actresses a little bit longer to do this or, you know, but, like, the four veteran actresses, they just blew us away with how, you know, with it they were, with how phenomenal they were, and they were often the ones who were ready first and, like, telling us, like, come, like, let's get going. And Lida, there's a scene where Lida, she jumps onto the back of a bucky and she's with these sheep. So, like, we were goats, you're right. So she, you know, we were very worried, like, filming that because it just sounds like a logistical nightmare. But, mm-hmm. like, Lida, who's, like she's turning 90 now, she was just, like, so phenomenal. She, like, hopped on the back of the bucky, no questions asked. The sheep were terrible to work with. But, like, but she didn't complain. She was just laughing along the whole way, you know. So I think the film really does deal with, you know, ageism, and you know, particularly she has the son who's chasing her through the Karoo, mm-hmm. and it really is a commentary on, you know, allowing someone older in their years, you know, to also have the space to live with dignity and enjoy, you know, really grab the last chapter of their life with both hands. And I think also just, you know, I feel very privileged to, you know, we did the Holocaust documentary a few years ago with Ella Blumenthal, mm-hmm. who's I believe turning 104 this year.
Wow.
So you know, I think we've grown up witnessing these really resilient older characters, as well as my great 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 aunt Peggy just turned 100.
Yes.
The other week. So you know, I feel very very privileged to kind of have a front seat witnessing these people who are older in their years, but you know, can still play tennis, can still be super resilient, and kind of show us how we should live our lives.
Yeah, I think that is fascinating. I want to talk about the Karoo a little bit. There was this great program that was 10 or 15 years ago. It was called Going Nowhere Slowly, which was about, it's like a travel show where they just basically drive around South Africa in a car that's actually very similar, I think, to the one that you use in the movie. And the Karoo occupies this like weird space. Sometimes, you know, it's that place you want to get through very quickly on your way down to Cape Town. But there is a kind of romanticism about the Karoo in South African culture in different ways. And I was wondering sort of why that motif is part of what you were trying to achieve.
I think we just wanted to plant these ladies in the middle of absolutely nowhere. So it was them, the four of them versus the elements. And I think, you know, the Karoo, I think it's very underexplored. Not enough people visit the Karoo on their way down to Cape Town or the Garden Route, wherever they're going. And you know, it's actually just so beautiful. You know, the mountains, the kind of arid, vast landscapes that you get there, they're really unexplored. And a lot of the Karoo actually has a very interesting Jewish history, like where we filmed actually towards the Eastern Cape of the Karoo in a town called Willowmore, which has if you're driving through the town, there's a huge sign that says Jewish Cemetery. And it's only about an hour away from Oudtshoorn, which also has a very rich Jewish history. So, you know, I just think it's a phenomenal area that we all should be looking into a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. The Karoo is a great place to do all sorts of stuff. So you didn't actually have to go all the way to Sutherland, because I was wondering about that, because that genuinely is really in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, logistically, it didn't work us going to Sutherland. But Sutherland is, I don't know, have you been?
So I've gotten close, but never actually been there.
It is a phenomenal experience to go and see the stars from Sutherland. It is just like, you know, you're seeing satellites roaming with the naked eye. It's I would encourage everyone to go, at least, you know, it's like a trip that you have to carve out.
Right, okay, so there we go. There's some travel advice from the movie experience. Now, this interaction with the Afrikaans community. You've kind of spoken about CakeNet and whatever, but it is very interesting because I've spoken to Gabi about some of this stuff. She says in some ways it's easier to work in Afrikaans because the Afrikaans community funds its own culture very effectively, and also because outside of South Africa it fits into the politics of filmmaking because it's seen as quote unquote a foreign film if it's in Afrikaans. So in a funny way, it actually brings some advantages.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of support from CakeNet towards, you know, Afrikaans programming, and also if it isn't for them, there's very few other places for Afrikaans speakers to, you know, see their own culture and, you know, people like them reflected back to them. So I think they're funding it very heavily. And yeah, it's just been such a pleasure, really, really working with them. It's so surprising because if you'd asked me a few years ago, even in high school, if I'd be doing Afrikaans films, I would have told you like in your dreams. But you know, I wouldn't take it back. It's actually just been the most pleasurable and fun experience.
And filmmaking is often linked to economy, right? It takes a lot of money to make films. We're seeing a process at the moment where sort of big screen movies are undergoing a change. There's a big question out there whether movies as you and I grew up watching them on a screen are going to survive the Netflixization of the media. But you know, where is South African film at just right at the moment?
So South African film, I think it shares with the rest of the world that, you know, things are a bit upside down. In South Africa, we're also dealing with the tax rebate for film that has been non-existent for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And there's talk that they actually might be scrapping the rebate. So, you know, it's really alarming for producers locally, as well as MultiChoice's takeover by Canal Plus, the French channel.
Yes.
That's left a lot of programming kind of been put on halt, or them not commissioning as many shows, which is also, I've been speaking to a lot of producers in the industry, and they're saying, like, you know, they can only pay a certain amount of salaries for the next few months because, you know, they have no new shows being commissioned because, you know, they're kind of waiting for new programming to open up. So the South African industry is in a bit of a tough spot, but I do think in the next year or two, things will be, you know, the tide always rises and then sets a little bit.
And of course, you've got the SABC, which is kind of has no money.
Yeah, like pretty much non-existent at the moment, the SABC.
And funding of films in English, is that also hard to come by specifically? There's no like institutions that fund that sort of stuff? Because often the stuff, when you have a film, it's like funded through an embassy or something like that.
Yes, well, I think it's quite difficult in English, but at the moment we're busy exploring private equity. I think that's the best way. And there are a few producers who've had some luck now with some English content where they've raised a few million, try to do it a little bit cheaper, and then they've sold it to the Netflixes or some of the streamers for a much bigger price. So that's a model that we're trying to explore now as well going forward.
A for-profit film model. It's a very interesting...
one can hope.
Very interesting idea. Okay, so that's very interesting about where that's going. So how long has the film now been out for consumption?
So the Quicksilvers has been on since the 1st of May, which was last week Thursday, the public holiday. And it's at over 35 cinemas across South Africa, as well as playing in, I think, two cinemas in Namibia, okay, if anyone's listening from there.
Okay, so that is... And the reception from... You said you've played it to a number of different audiences. What has been the critical feedback, especially, I guess, in the Afrikaans media as well?
Yeah, no, we've only really gotten really fantastic reviews, which is always wonderful. But from the Afrikaans community, it won the festival favorite, the Audience Choice Award, at Silverscreen last year. It also played at the Joburg Film Festival a couple of months ago. And, you know, those two festivals have very different audiences.
Yeah.
So it was just great to see that they all you know, they all got the film. You know, they have different areas that they enjoyed or laughed at. But, you know, it's kind of been astounding. And one can only really hope that everyone enjoys the film. But, you know, we're getting the box office numbers later today from the weekend. So let's see if that correlates to box office.
Yeah, that was something else that occurred to me watching the film, is that, you know, if it wasn't a comedy, if you had kind of stuck with the trauma of people dying stuff like in the other film, it would be one of those very niche kind of cinema nouveau-esque type things, which is nothing wrong with that. But by making it a comedy, it does make it a little bit more accessible to a wider audience for a story which, you know, is it may or may not be accessible to a lot of people, the story itself, because it's about older people and all of that. But by making it a comedy, that makes it accessible to a wider audience.
Definitely. I think, you know, as a filmmaker, we were very cognizant of, you know, a lot of the time when you're watching something that's like serious drama, you know, you watch it in a certain way. But with a comedy, you kind of let your guard down because you're able to laugh with these characters or even at them. And then when something sad happens, like, you know, your heart's kind of like open to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if anyone has to just go and watch the trailer, you'll see it's a really, really fun, wild comedy. So, you know, there is that balance of heartfelt and humor.
And I think also interestingly for me, I mean, I don't think it's completely unique in this regard in South Africa, but almost completely non-political. It just doesn't address those sorts of things, which I think is probably quite healthy given the context that we're in.
Yeah, I think the only thing, it's not really political, but I'm not going to ruin anything, but there's a pothole that the ladies stumble into on the road. You know, maybe that's the only hint to, you know, government breakdowns or anything.
There's a sort of like BE-esque character at one point, or maybe sort of like that, not quite, but yeah, it's not. It's just not part of the, which, you know, I think is quite interesting because I found this interesting because if you watch the Oscar short films this year, the one that won, it was all of the short films were these hit you over the head, let's all cry by the end of this short film documentary, including a very good one from South Africa about rhinos, which was excellent. But it was like very, I don't want to call it self-righteous, but like, I don't know what the word is, but very, you know, it's serious toned. We're gonna tell you now about this issue. And the one that won was like a kind of cutesy story about AI.
Right. Yes,
and I do wonder whether the sort of woke moment that we had for sort of 10 years kind of encouraged that kind of filmmaking, and now people are maybe looking for something a little bit not so hectic, first of all, and second of all, like are happy to be a bit more nuanced about what they're seeing in front of them.
Definitely, I think people. You know, I just look at like the news, and like it's sometimes locally and abroad, it's just so depressing. And I think people are just looking for an outlet to, you know, watch something funny that they can laugh and enjoy themselves for an hour and a half, or even just the trailer. Like, you know, it's 90 seconds of enjoyment. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, I think that's maybe why that film that you mentioned, the Oscar short film, won, because it was just a really light, fun. It didn't hit you over the head. But the message was still very, very clear and effective, even though it was a fun comedy.
So, okay, so you can go see it. You don't have to be Afrikaans. There are subtitles. And actually, you know, even me with my very lower grade Afrikaans, I think I got a D+ pass in matric for Afrikaans. Languages are not my thing, as you know. I can barely speak English. This is a film that anyone can really access. And it's on all sorts of theaters, including Cinema Nouveau up in Rosebank, but sort of all around the country as well.
Yeah, no, it's all over. It's at a whole bunch of Ster-Kinekors, New Metros, and some independent cinemas as well. So do check it out. I will tell you that, unfortunately, with the Ster-Kinekor Nouveau Rosebank website, they're migrating onto a new system. So if you want to find the film, you have to click the cinema first, and then you'll find the film in the times there.
Okay, so yeah, and actually, because it is kind of geared towards the Afrikaans community, I would say like a lot of it is in like Pretoria, and the Joburg ones are sort of maybe we have a pretty broad footprint here at Chai FM, but I would say it's the only sort of northern suburbs kind of showing of the film. So if you want to go, Rosebank Nouveau is the place to see it. Or if you want to go check out the trailer, where can you see that? At least.
I would say follow us at Sanctuary Films. On all forms of social media to see the trailer and updates. It's actually also showing at the Bioscope. It has two screenings, I know, coming up this week at the Bioscope cinema near town, which is really wonderful. And I really do think that although the main target market is Afrikaans-speaking people, you know, we had a cinema of 90 people, mostly from the Jewish community the other day, who laughed and had a great time in cinema. And, you know, I had a bit of a joke saying, like, this is probably the Guinness World Record for the most Jews to be watching a feature-length Afrikaans film in cinema. But, I think it's really a film for everyone. I think the themes and the humor, it speaks to all.
Yeah, I did get that sense from the film. And it also occurred to me that the kind of people who might go see a Cinema Nouveau-type film would actually enjoy this. And in fact, when I was watching it yesterday, those were some of the people in the audience as well. So you know, it's a kind of a family film. You can take the teenagers and take your more elderly parents. I think they might appreciate it, and you might learn something from that experience. So, Jordi, thank you so much for joining us on Chai FM. It's been great to have you as always, and please do come back when you're making your next adventure into the cinematic experience.
Thank you. Would really love that. Thanks so much.
There we go, Jordi Sank. Go check out the Quicksilvers. It is really worth a while and a lot of fun.